Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm so excited to be on the airwaves tonight. I am on the road traveling. I'm here in Columbia, South Carolina. I came here to visit my mother, Mary Lou Lampkin Nelson Jones, and I stopped by my hometown of Alvin, South Carolina, and my cousin Delcy did a book signing for me yesterday. I want to give a shout out to her and thank her once again for a lovely evening. Had the opportunity to visit with my sisters and visit my nieces and nephews, and it's an awesome experience. You know, one of the things I always talk about is family and sticking together and always, you know, being there when we need them. And I tell you, Shirley, I am just so excited. I haven't been on a road trip in a long time. Shirley Carter, are you there?
Oh, Val, road trip. I am so excited for you. I said, I can't wait to take a road trip. Yes, Val is on the road, and I'm loving it that she's on the road because she's inspiring me to step out there to take my road trip. But my road trip is going to be down there where she's at because I need some sunshine. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight. I am so excited. Val, you have outdone yourself. I thank you myself, and I can't wait to hear the story of Miss Sandrina Taylor.
Yay, man. Sandrina had the opportunity to perform at my retreat last year, Soul Retreat 2013, and she is going to be joining us once again at Soul Retreat 2014, and it's going to be September 12th and 13th in Fort Lauderdale. And we have a lot of different artists that will be there, motivation, inspirational speakers, and, you know, a good old-fashioned 70s party. I was talking to my sister-in-law last night, and I said, yeah, you got to come down to a retreat. It's best, and make sure you bring your 70s attire. Well, what did I say that for? Beverly pulled out some pictures with her sisters and her brother with their 70s outfit on. And I said, oh, no, if y'all coming to my party, I'm going to have to order something special because y'all can't look better than me at my retreat. So I am so excited, and I'm loving this road trip. I stopped in Charleston, South Carolina. Now I'm in Columbia. Tomorrow I'm going to Atlanta to see my daughter, Stephanie. No, I started out in Tampa. I went to visit my son, David, the one that I talk about often on the show that's a teacher. And it's just so amazing. I was looking at him and saying, wow, 29 years ago I gave birth to this child. And he was there cooking for me and making sure mommy was okay. And I was like, who would imagine that this little boy that I birthed that gave me a little drama in his teens would turn around and become a teacher and teacher of the year at that with his master's degree. And he's single and he's got his life together. And I'm so excited now. I'll go visit my daughter, Stephanie, in Atlanta. She works for IRS and she can't do a thing for me. I'm like, honey, can you do it? She said, Mom, you're going to have to pay your taxes like everybody else. Well, enough of that. Well, anyway, Tonight I have a special guest, recording artist and now new author, Sandrina Taylor. She's been preaching and playing instruments in her local church since she was 5 years old. Throughout her adult years, she has accomplished much as a solo artist and shared the stage with such gospel greats as the late Reverend James Moore, Dorothy Norwood, Keith Wonderboy Johnson, and she's made several appearances on TBN, Praise the Lord, during 2013. And now she's touring the country with her new book, Sandrina's Song. Sandrina, are you there?
I am, Dr. Vail. I am here. Good evening.
Good evening, my queen. I tell you, you are such an amazing person. The first time I heard you sing, you sung the rendition of Take Me to the King. And I was like, wow. And then I bought your CD, and I got to tell you, I was upset when I got home, and that song wasn't on there. Because you own that song. I thought you wrote it. I thought you sang it, because, I mean, you own that song. I was like, wow. And when I heard it again, I was like, oh, she don't even sound as good as Sandrina singing it, not knowing that she's the one that wrote it. I'm not calling her the same, but not knowing that she's the one that wrote the song.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to lie to my audience, but I thought it was your song.
Well, thank you, Dr. Val. I'm so glad that I didn't let you down, but then I did let you down when you got home and played that CD, and that wasn't on there. I'm so sorry about that, but I love Thelma,
like, I said I must have got the wrong tape, because you have several tapes and CDs that, you know, I want you to tell the audience about. So I was like, I told her I wanted the song that she sang. Now, the other song you sang was on there, so I guess you meant that song.
Oh, my goodness, you are too funny. I am so proud to be able to sing that song. And, you know, it has been requested a lot of me ever since it actually was released by her. So I take it to heart, and I love her music, and I most definitely try to represent as best I can. Take Me to the King.
Yes, indeed. Now you've written a new book. I tell you, you just keep evolving. Wonderful, magnificent, beautiful queen. What is next for you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Dr. Val. You know, I sit back and I watch you. I see the things that you're doing, and you are definitely an inspiration and encouragement to me. And just to let you know, because we've talked before, but I never told you this. When I came to the retreat in September, I had written that book probably a year prior. But when I came to the retreat and you had all these wonderful authors and people out there that were selling their book, and then I said, well, I know that she spoke to me, but I didn't know that she had already written 4 books. That was like, wow, okay, let me go ahead and try to get started and see what I can do. But you were definitely an inspiration, and I was really encouraged and so glad to be a part of the retreat 2013. Now, what's in store for me? Well, there's a lot going on. I'm so excited. I'm trying to keep up with it myself. I'm having a hard time, but it's going to be all right. The new book came out January 1st of this year. Titled Sandrina's Song, Memoirs of Me. Prior to that, I went in and I released my first video, my official video of my song, Stand Up. I never done that before. That was amazing. And you know, so many things are happening. I'm recording again. I am about to release another. I'm working on a full album, but I think because of the demand, I'm not going to be able to just hold it off until everything is done. I'm going to have to put a little spurts of things out there. But a lot of things are happening. I'm actually going to be doing my second video this upcoming weekend to my new single, No More Chains, which is a testament of my journey and basically what I experienced with domestic violence a few years ago. So it kind of talks about that and talks a little bit about the story and about what happened. But there's a lot going on, and I'm kind of excited because there was a drought for a very long time. So I'm feeling good.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, a lot of times, you know, delays are not denials when it comes to your dreams. Sometimes things are put on hold so that God can work on you and give you clear vision on the next step that you need to take on this journey in this game we call life. And, you know, one of the things and that I love about God is his timing is always perfect. We don't understand or know why that there are delays in things that we want to do in life, but it's for an appointed time, a purpose. It's for somebody that's there waiting for you at that moment. You know, like when you're driving in a car and there's another car coming in the opposite direction, and then all of a sudden those cars collide, and they were like, oh, man, why me? Well, that's how God's blessings are sometimes. We could be haphazardly going along, and his blessings just overtake us, and it's for that appointed time, that appointed purpose. So you are right on time with everything that you're doing and the masses of people that you will meet. This surge, this latter part of your years is going to just spiral into doing things so magnificent, so great that you won't even be able to comprehend, you know, the magnificence of who God really is. So I salute you on this journey.
Amen. Thank you. And that's just another confirmation. I'm definitely encouraged tonight just by, you know, those words. They are definitely, I'm taking them to heart, taking them to heart. And, again, thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Well, thank you for joining. Now, Sandrina's song, take us on a journey of your book.
Okay, Sandrina's song, it was birthed out of me in April of 2012. That I just woke up and I couldn't sleep, and the words were just coming, and I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And the Lord just said, start writing. Just start writing. And as I began to write, I became free of some things that I never knew were buried so deep in my heart and in my soul, and they had actually become chains in my life where I was bound by them. It talks about from my first memories, which was at age 3, up until my recent memories, things that I experienced throughout life, abuse started pretty early in my life. It wasn't something that just recently happened. But, of course, being a child, I did not know that that was abuse. As an adult now, at the age of 43, I kind of understand what was really going on. And I definitely know that God has a purpose and has always had a purpose for me. So it kind of just talks about, you know, being molested at a young age by some of my peers and things that just really shouldn't have been going on as a child. It also, I also have wonderful memories of the things that were good. So the book is kind of a bittersweet thing that, you know, I went from this to this, but God brought me through this. And, you know, at first when I began to write it, and then I had a few family members to take a look at it because I wanted to get their opinions, it just, the feedback that I got, of course, was not so good. And at the time, I did not understand why, but it was really because the book was not for them. The book is for the survivors. The book is for somebody else. So now that it's out, it's taking a whole different life and personality on for itself. Again, it talks about even in my teen years, some of the things that I experienced from men, young men, but much older than me in high school, and my children, the births of my children, my marriages, my failed marriages, things that just the normal person, I would say, would not share. They would not put that out. And I battled with that for a very long time. Okay, do I really need to tell people this, God? And his answer to me was yes, because my people are hurting. And sometimes we are the only God or Jesus that some people will ever see or hear. So our lives have to be a light, and we have to become transparent for people. They don't need somebody that's, you know, have made it and they've been perfect all their life. They need to hear that, yeah, I had some issues, some serious ones going on, but at the end of the day, God saw my need and he provided for me. So I had to just take my flesh feelings off and release what God had given to me to be able to give to others. But at the same time, Dr. Val, I became free. The moment I put those words on the paper, that's when I was liberated. And I did not know that until I did it. And God was like, see, this is why I told you to write it. Pondered over it for still over a year, and then met up with you. I'd seen you before. We had talked before, but it was just after that September retreat, it was like, okay, it's time to do it now. And I mean, things just took off from there.
Amen. Well, I'm blessed to know that I was instrumental in you pursuing this and going for, because, you know, it took me 7 years to write From the Soul of a Woman Loves You and Her. Well, I had written it, but it took me 7 years to release it because I was concerned about what my children would say about it, what family would say, what my friends would say. I worried about other people's opinion, but then when I could no longer ignore the fact that God said release it, when I did, so many doors began to open, and so many people would come to me and say, wow, thank you for writing that book. I had no idea. Thank you for doing it. And then more people started talking about domestic violence because, you know, nobody wants to admit the fact that they've been victimized or that they've gone through a turbulent marriage. You know, we go through a dispensation in our life where we want everybody to think everything is perfect, everything is peachy. And, you know, I lived my life that way, you know, being married to a minister. I wanted everybody to think everything was all together. On the outside, we were the perfect sitcom family. But inside, our home was a wreck. And that's why that book had to come out. And I remember my ex telling me that I was nobody, I was nothing, I wasn't going to be anything, and that nobody would ever know my name. Well, you know, I sold 10,000 copies of From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. So at least 10,000 people know my name.
That's right. That is right. That is so true. That is so true. And that a lot of things that you say are relative to what has, you know, happened to me. I talk about, even in one of my songs, the song No More Change, which is kind of correlates with the book as well, being told by ministers, being told by preachers, hey, you know, don't tell your story to everybody. Your story is not for everybody. Let the Lord direct you on who should hear that, because everybody doesn't want to hear that. And, you know, it was at that moment when I started feeling down, saying, God, now this is coming from your servant telling me this. Now, I know I heard you. Now, you know, and I use this, I don't even want to call it analogy, but I use this thought process, I guess you can call it, of, now, why would God go to somebody else to get a message to me? Sometimes he does have to do that. I'm not against that. That's not what I'm saying. But if I'm communicating with him on a regular basis and I'm talking to him about this same thing, I can understand why he would be what we would call two-faced and go and tell somebody something else that he needed me to know, because I thought I was listening to him when he told me to write it. So it was one of those moments where I had to just kind of come to the realization that, you know what, if you sit there and listen to that, you're never going to move forward. Then the book will never be out, and the people's lives who you've been assigned to will never, never, ever get to hear the story and be free just as you are. So I had to denounce that, but it took me a minute. It was not cool. It was very, very, it was very hurtful to hear that from people that, you know, I looked up to. But as we can see, God did it, and he's still doing it. The book, everybody that reads it that I've gotten feedback from just say, you know what, I found myself in here somewhere. I found myself in here in this portion. I found myself in here. And, you know, even with sharing my story, there are people that have come up to me and said, you know what, I've never told anybody about what has happened to me. And there are people that are in the church, men and women of God. And they're like, you know what, but just by hearing your story and seeing your courage, you know what, I'm going to start to open my mouth, because, yes, more people need to hear this. More people need to know that domestic violence is not something to keep silent about. I mean, you know, it's just not. You know, it's time to be educated. It's time to be free from, and most definitely to be able to help someone else. Once you become the survivor and you're no longer the victim, now it's time to switch roles as you did and help someone else to become that survivor.
Yes, and I know Shirley has a couple of questions to ask you too, but one of the things I want to ask you is, you were singing since you were 5 years old, and did your singing, your ability to sing, did you start singing out of your pain and out of a way to communicate the pain you were feeling, or was it just a natural gift that you were born with where you just enjoyed singing?
I believe that it really was just my natural gift that I was born with to sing. Now, at the age of five, of course. But as I ventured off into 10 years old, and that's really where I wrote my first song at the age of 10. That was out of my pain. My family, my mother and my father, we were living in a motorhome behind the church that my father was pastoring in, I'm going to say it's nice, but a little country town. And, you know, I was born down here in the city, so I was kind of having a little problem adjusting to the country and way out in the woods and living in the motorhome. Mm-hmm. We got to run poles from the church to the motorhome and go empty the toilet. And, you know, I'm just keeping it real. And I was really in a lot of pain. And it was at that moment that I began to write. I went and sat in the church. It's like I'm envisioning it right now. I went and sat in the empty church by myself because, of course, we lived out there. Nobody came out that way, and I was bored. I had nothing else to do, but I spoke something. God spoke something into my life that I did not know as a 10-year-old child, but I see now. The song that I wrote was titled "God is Working Miracles in My Life," and
wow.
I wrote it and sang it in church. Yes, I wrote it. I sang it in church like the next day, not really knowing what the meaning of the song is. But now as I look back all these years, 33 years later, because I was 10, I see what it was, because I talked about him picking me up off the bed of affliction. And, you know, Dr. Val, God has delivered me from having four TIAs, four mini strokes, a heart attack.
Wow.
He's delivered me from depression. I've had migraines. God knows how long, just a lot of issues, physical issues that have really tried to keep me bound. And at 10 years old, I didn't know that, but I see God was having me to speak in faith that he was working that miracle even at 10 years old, because he knew what the future was going to bring, and I didn't. So
wow.
It started out as just my vocal ability, but by 10, God had already been working things out in my life. And I was very upset that we had to live in that motorhome, and I was by myself, and I didn't have no friends.
Wow. That's funny, because I was talking to my granddaughter, you know, like I said, I'm on my road trip here, and my granddaughter was like, "Nana, you grew up here?" I said, "Well, I finished my last few years of high school here." She was like, "I don't like it here." I said, "Why? Why do you say that?" She said, "Because it's too stuffy." I'm like, "What do you mean it's too stuffy?" Now, she's 10. She said, "It's too many trees and stuff." And I said, "Well, what do the trees have to do with it being stuffy?" She said, "It's just too crowded." Now, country, everything is spaced out and far apart, but to her, it was crowded. She said, "It's just too crowded, too many trees." So I can imagine, I'm just envisioning you saying, "Okay, I'm out of here in this trailer behind this thing, hooking up this stuff so we could go to church and stuff. Where's everybody at? Where's the sign of life?"
You know, I am so in awe over your story about 10 years old writing a song that reflects your life.
Mm-hmm.
34 years later.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is so powerful. And
yeah.
That is, and then for you to reflect back over that in spite of your health issues, the things
mm-hmm.
you've gone through, because I'm a person, I dealt with the stroke where I lost the vision in my right eye. So I
mm-hmm.
know as a result of that, you can lose bits and pieces of your memory. And
mm-hmm.
for God to bring, it's only God, and you've had
yes,
four.
Right.
Only
that's right.
God.
Only God.
Can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just solidifies what I say a lot is that, and Val even says, he
mm-hmm.
when you're where you're at this purpose and this plan and this time is where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He told you 10 years ago when you wrote that song. That this
mm-hmm.
is, you know, this is about your life and where you didn't see it as a child. I don't think any child can really see it. But for you mm-hmm. to be able to go through the health issues that you've gone through mm-hmm. and still maintain that memory to bring that mm-hmm. in, you know, in fruition, and then you put it in your book, your memoir mm-hmm. of you mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. your singing, the voice that it gave you, you didn't lose that talent. He didn't take it from you. And
no.
he didn't allow anyone else to take it from you.
No.
Because that is
no.
your voice to speak to the masses, and then for you to write it in a book for those that, because, you know, we do deal with people that cannot hear, but they can read.
Right. Amen.
So
that's
you're
right.
reading from, and then if they cannot read it, then you're singing it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that is so powerful.
Yeah, that is. I hadn't looked at it like that, but oh yeah, that was a good one. Yes, yes. And you know, just by you saying that, I even when I'm singing, people that I've taught with vocal coaching and things like that, I always tell them and share with them that you have to imagine that the people out in the audience, that they cannot hear. So your body language and your vocal expression
yeah.
and how you pronounce and enunciate means everything. Don't count it as, oh, you're just making yourself look silly and you're overdoing it. No, you have to always remember or just imagine somebody out there cannot hear you. And just by saying that, Dr. Val and Sheila, Shirley, I'm sorry. Last November, when I released my first song, the song No More Chains, I was at the mm-hmm. Sheriff's Office Award Ceremony, and there was about 1,100 or 1,200 people there that I actually performed this song for the very first time. And you would never believe, I even took a picture with the lady's daughter. The lady came up, she was a Korean woman, and she came up to me and she just wanted to tap me on my shoulder, and she said, I cannot hear very well. She said, but I heard your song and I heard your voice.
Wow.
And it was very beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And I will
wow.
never, ever forget that, because I'm saying
oh, wow.
what I've been saying all along has been the truth. You never know who's out there who can't see, but the expression gave her what she needed. And then at the same time, God gave her a miracle. If she didn't hear anything else, she heard that song.
She heard that.
And that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
Can
so where can individuals find it?
I'm sorry?
Where can individuals find your book and your music?
Oh, okay. My book and my music is on my website, which is www.sandrinasings.com. Sandrina, S-A-N-D-R-I-N-E-A, Sings, S-I-N-G-S. .com. They can also find my music on ReverbNation.com/Sandrina Taylor, SandrinaTaylor. The book can not only be found on my website, but it can be found on Amazon.com. It's actually there for the printable version for those who would like to actually order the hard copy, and it's also on the Amazon Kindle for those who have the Kindle. They can actually be able to put it on their Kindles right away. So those couple of places you can find the music and the book as well. And, of course, on my Facebook page, I do have a store on the Facebook page, so they can visit facebook.com/thesoundofsoul, and that's THESOUND. O-F, and soul is spelled a little differently. It's S-O-W-U-L, the Sound of Soul, Facebook.
Great. And you have an event coming up next month, April.
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm very excited to talk about that. I remember I told you earlier I didn't have any friends. Well, see, God is so good. I finally got me some friends. Took me a while, but I got some. Amen. Next month on April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Doubletree Hotel here right in Palm Beach County in Palm Beach Gardens, we will be having a book signing and a concert event. It's called Gifted Words and Song, and it's being hosted by myself and my god sister, Sabrina Harris, who has been very, very inspirational in this process. And she was the one who actually was a visionary for it, and I'm kind of just following her lead with it. But we're going to be doing the book signing, my very first. I'm still going to have to talk to you, Dr. Val, as to how to properly do that off the air. But we'll be doing that, and we have some wonderful friends. I have some friends that have agreed to come and share with me, and, of course, that is Dr. Valerie Parker and our mutual friend, Pastor J.R. Thicklin. We have a national recording artist. Will be performing as well, and, of course, Bishop Liddell Cole out of Tampa. He will be performing. We have another local church choir, who they are the bomb, Hilltop Baptist Choir, Baptist Church Mass Choir. We have some other local authors, Pat Fadina and Stephanie Josie. They're newly released authors as well, and we're just going to be having a wonderful time. I'm so excited. I've been working diligently trying to get some more music recorded and trying to make sure we have enough stock for everything, and making sure that I just be able to present what God has given me to the company of the people that will be attending. Very, very, very excited. And, of course, a portion of all proceeds, anything that I do, are gifted to either a one of the local organizations that we've chosen. Each time we do something, we want to be able to present. This time will be the Harmony House of Palm Beach County. And also, I'm a supporter of Victim Services, which is where I received my services once I had my experience back in 2010. And they have just been very, very, very good to me and very encouraging over the past 4 years. So everything that I do, I want to make sure that I'm able to give back.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so excited about being a part of that. And, you know, I said, you just call me, because when I need somebody, I just call.
Yes.
You know, the doors will open up. You said, ask and it shall be given.
It shall be given. That's right. That is right. That is so right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's iron sharpening iron. You know, we all on this journey, and what better way to empower and inspire somebody's life, you know, by, you know, being first partakers of it. You know, people will listen more to individuals that have been through something. You know, nobody wants to hear anybody say, oh, I know how you feel, and they've not been where you've been. Ever.
Exactly.
Not even close to it.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, that was, I mean, just even with my story of surviving a horrific crime 4 years ago in August, and again, like I said, I talk about it in one of my songs, but sharing my story was another way of freedom for me to be able to share it. No, I didn't want to do it, but it had to be done. And, you know, I have to tell of the goodness of Jesus, because it was him, and it's because of him that I am alive today. No other reason, nobody else. They wasn't in their power. They had nothing to do with it. It was God, because, you know, as I told you, Dr. Val, that night that I was taken in captivity and held hostage, bound with shackles on my arms and my face totally taped up with only my eyes out and not even maybe a quarter inch to breathe. I couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. Nobody could hear me scream. Nobody could hear anything. So you tell me how I'm still alive. That's God. Because in a moment, he did not take 3 hours. He didn't take 3 years. We didn't have to go mix up a potion to get him to deliver me. All I could do was just believe in my heart that he would do what he said he would do. And I said, okay, God, if you're going to do anything, now would be a good time. Remember, I couldn't speak, so this is just my spirit talking God. And immediately, when I say immediately, it was immediately the violence stop that was happening right then. I was taken by surprise. I was held at knife point, and this was by someone that I did love. He was my husband at the time for 13 years, but he just could not deal with separation and divorce. We had been dealing with this issue for quite a while and really had never experienced any type of violence in our home. Our children had never seen anything like that. A voice raising every now and then, of course, but not anything of this magnitude. So it took everybody by surprise. But, you know, as I say, he allowed the enemy to come in and take over his thought process and allow him to feel like that, you know, this was going to be his way of gaining control, when actually in the end he really lost all the control. The things that he could have had, even up to this day, he lost them by just, you know, being tricked. And,
wow.
Yes, it put a lot of fear in me. I will say that just this year, and I talk about those chains, I am now able to sleep in my room with my door closed and no one else is in it. So that was
wow.
the extent of the trauma that I experienced. My children, I would freak out, scream, if they walked out of my room and closed the door. You can't close the door. I need to be able to see who's coming in and who's going out at all times. So God has done a wonderful work in me. The person, which is my ex-husband, who I'm now divorced from, he's doing some time, and that has been an adjustment period as well for our children. Again, he's never been out of the home, and, you know, things are different, but we're adjusting, and we're kind of doing quite well. So I am thankful. I'm thankful for the experience, although it was very, very painful, but it's taught me a lesson, and it has also brought me to where I am today. And I don't think I would have been here, Dr. Val, if that hadn't happened in my life, really.
Yeah, I feel that same way. You know, although it was painful, it was horrific, you know, some of the things I had to endure, and I talk about it in my book, From the Soul of a Woman. And, you know, it took me, when I wrote that book, it took me a couple of years before I could even read over it again. It's just something, you know, you put it out there and then it's done, and you want to kind of lock it away in your vault. This is my second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to See Your Future. In that book, I talk about forgiving, and I had the hardest time forgiving myself because of the fact that, you know, I let it go on. I allowed it to go on for 19 years because I thought there was no other option. I had no other, you know, no other out. You know, and we always worry about what people think, people's opinion will sometimes kill you.
That's right. You are absolutely correct. Absolutely.
So I am so glad that you had the courage to write your book, because it takes a lot of courage, because when it's out there, you have to fight a whole lot of obstacles, you know, people saying, well, why did you put that, or you shouldn't have put that out, you shouldn't have did this, you shouldn't have did that. You know, you always have to fight. I don't care what book it is. Somebody's always got an opinion. But the only opinion you need is God. So I do honor and salute you for having the courage to do that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. I thank you so much. Thank you.
I have a question for you. You said your children, how do they feel about you writing your book about your memoir? Are they old enough to, I'm not sure how old your children are they old enough to understand that this is something that was instilled in you 10 years ago? Have you shared that part with them?
Yes, actually I have. Our agreement with my children is that they won't read the book. And I feel really good about that. I think that is the best decision that we made collectively as a family. My children are old enough. They're right now, they're 23, 21, 17, and 16. But at the time, which was 4 years ago, they were pretty much 20 and 17 and I think 14 and 12. So that was a difficult time. But as we've you know, grown a little bit. They've come to understand why I've had to do some of the things that I do and the decisions that I've had to make. So we kind of, you know, some things we kind of play it by ear. They don't like to hear me talk too much about what's in the book, and they definitely are, like I said, they won't read it. Sometimes when I share my story, it's a little uncomfortable because, of course, each time I share my story, I don't say everything word for word. So sometimes there are some different, you know, things that come up that I might not have mentioned before that is, you know, might strike a nerve or, but they deal with it, they deal with it very well, and I'm very, very proud of them. What I did experience with my sons, not so much my daughter, but my three sons, they felt a sense of guilt because of the fact that they were in the house the entire time, but they never knew what was going on. You know, but that was in the plan of God. You know, they were there, and I thought that they were already dead, which was why I kind of had began to give up in my spirit, because I'm saying, okay, well, the kid's dead. You know, what am I living for? I might as well just let him go ahead on and do whatever it is he got to do. But it was at when God delivered, when he freed me, and he at least let me get up, and I was able to go on the other side of the house and check and see that the boys were still alive. It was at that moment I knew that I had to continue to fight in whatever way possible. And my way of fighting was just basically praying and hoping that God would send someone to come and see about me. And he did, because my daughter had actually left the house that night. And she was the one who came back, her and her friend, and they were the ones who were able to dial 911 and get the process going for everything to go down the way it did. So,
wow.
Okay.
So, you're talking, and while you're talking, I'm like not breathing because I'm walking with you through the house and looking to see the children, and it's just like, whoa. Flashback.
Yes, because, you know, just in my natural sense, I'm imagining, like, what am I going to see? What am I going to see when I go over here? And, you know, it's just not something you really want to deal with, for real, just to say, okay, if they're dead, okay, when I open this door, you know, what in the world am I going to see? And it was just such a relief. I'm getting, like, overwhelmed just talking about it, just to know that my children were still alive, and not only had God spared me, but he had even spared them before the situation even took place. Because the word was, I've already done everything else I have to do. This is the last thing. That was what actually made me think that the children were already gone because of the way he worded everything, but they are alive, and I'm so thankful. So thankful.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Now, is there any communication at this time between him and the children? Or?
Yes, not very much. It's pretty limited. At first there was a little more than it is now. And I've always allowed it, which, again, that's something that I was kind of persecuted, you know, by people. Oh, how could you do that? But, again, walk a mile in my shoes. You have to understand.
Right.
First of all, he was my best friend, okay, until the things went wrong. And second of all, we didn't have violence prior to this. So this was the only, basically, isolated event that took place. And me, where I used to be a very hateful person, God had been teaching me forgiveness prior to this, and I didn't even know it. I did not even know how he was actually working this forgiveness thing in me. And it was just for a time like that. So they do communicate. He writes, and I allow him to write. These are his children. That's their father. Mm-hmm. You know, they are the ones who basically lost. You know, they lost someone that they loved, and I can't replace it, but I can definitely do the best that I can to help them cope and get along with their hurt, because I wasn't the only one, you know, who was victimized. Physically, yes, but they were broken apart too. So, you know, I have to do what I can to help them to cope.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, too, because, you know, one of the things that people have to realize is, yes, there is two sides to every story, but there's always somebody involved in the story. And it's not for you to say, well, I wouldn't have did this, I wouldn't have done that, how could you take this and how could you take that? You know, once you're in the midst of it, it's very difficult to even know which end is up. You're so busy trying to exist, you know, you forget about trying to live. You're just trying to exist. And when there are other people involved, you know, like, you know, I always wonder about my children. What would they think? You know, what about them? What about them? And then in the end, when they were able to make their own decisions about communicating and stuff, you know, they put out their hand and, you know, extended it, you know, so here, Dad, you know, we're here, you know, let's forget about the past, let's move on from here. But he wasn't man enough to take that hand and say, okay, let's move on from there. But, you know, but it takes courage for my children to move on and, you know, have the lives that they have in spite of. So you can have success, you can have life, you can have dreams beyond a broken home. And, you know, and I thank God for that because, you know, it takes a relationship with God to heal that brokenness, you know. People are taken away from your lives each and every day, and only God can heal the broken heart and the wounded spirit. So in the midst of that, I'm so glad that you had the courage to do what you do and write it in a book and sing, because singing breaks every chain. Yes, it does.
Yes, most definitely. And that's what I do. I get to doing it. Every time I feel something that's coming up, oh, let me see what song is in my heart. And you know, God is so good because there is not a day that I either wake up, well, I do wake up and go to bed with a song on my heart. The song is already playing as if I'm already awake singing it prior to my opening my eyes to wake up. And that's like my little alarm clock that God gives me, because I really don't use a regular alarm clock, but it's God just kind of serenading me every morning that wakes me up. So I wake up in his presence with a song, and that's like my song of the day. And when I go to bed at night, there's another one that's playing that helps me to go to sleep. So he's with me, and yes, music plays a very, very big role in my life.
Yeah, just think, you know, although you have to pay a price, you know, I tell people we all pay a price to be who we are, whether it's good or bad, we pay a price. And your price for this next level of greatness has been you enabled you to write it, subscribe it, so that not only will it inspire one, two, three people, but millions.
That's right.
Millions. There will be people that will read your voice and will listen to your song. I have sometimes 3,000-4,000 people replay my shows a week.
Wow.
So imagine how many people are playing it over and over again and being free and passing it along. I always tell people, pass on the show. If this show has been a blessing to you, download it, forward it to someone, download it from Facebook, and send it to someone that might need it. Because sometimes, you know, we're the only book someone will read. We're the only voice that people will hear.
That's right. That is right. You are absolutely correct. Absolutely. Absolutely correct. Amen.
I'm going to open up the line shortly for anyone that has a question or comment for Sandrina Taylor, recording artist and author of Sandrina's Song. So I'll open up the line shortly, and then we'll actually get a snippet of Sandrina. Caller 2175, you're live.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Dr. Val, and thank you all so much. I tell you, that is so wonderful when you have gone through something like that, and then that, you know, part of, you know, the way I was, you know, grew up. And I tell you, to just listen at that, I'm just sitting here and I'm like reminiscing, you know. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like to, my name is Marie, And it's like today is my birthday, and I'm 61, and I'm so proud to be able to.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And you know, just to sit here and look, you know, and I'm like, you know, when I was little, my daddy used to drink, and we used to have, he would, you know, if you just had the door closed, you didn't even have to have the door locked. And he would come in with axes and bricks and balls and throwing stuff, and it's like we used to have to wake up running, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's just a miracle that, you know, we all are here, you know. And then, you know, it's like Thursday, it would be my son, which he would be 39 years old, and he passed when he was 16, and that was the only child that I had. And I tell you, usually I be moaning and groaning and, you know, I mean, I never just cry and, you know, do a lot of stuff, but I just been thanking the God that, you know, I just been thanking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my Heavenly Father, thanking the Holy Ghost today. I just been, ever since last night, I just been thanking God to be able to be here at 61, over half of 100. Oh my God. And I would never thought that I would be here because I, you know, I lived on the streets, did a lot of stuff, you know, and I would never thought that I would be here at 61 years old. And I just thank and praise the Lord. I tell you, and I thank you for everything that you shared. And I hope that I'd be able to go to your show and be able to be there. And oh God, thank you so much, Dr. Valerie, for letting me share that. And God bless all of you all. Be safe.
Yes, and thank you so much. Thank you. Happy birthday from Hot Topics from the Soul.
Happy birthday.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, Sandrina, again, give the listening audience some information on how they can contact you and find out more about the event. And then we'll move on from there, and you can cue up one of your songs for the listening audience to hear.
Okay. I can be reached at 561-412-4013, 561-412-4093. I can also be reached by email. You can do sandrinasings@yahoo.com or sandrinasings@gmail.com. sandrinasings@yahoo.com. You can also, of course, reach me on Facebook at any time. Just type in my name. I've got about 3 pages up there, and I check them very, very, very frequently. So you can inbox me, and we can talk, or I can give you more information. The flyer is actually up on Facebook. It's on my website, and it's on Reverb Nation. So we've kind of been putting out in a lot of different places, but again, you can give me a call always, 561-412-4093.
Thank you so much for that. And, you know, again, you know, make sure you join us at the event April 12th.
April 12th, 6 p.m., Doubletree Hotel, PGA Boulevard, Palm Beach Gardens, Doubletree Hilton. It is at Doubletree Hilton.
Yes. Doubletree Hill, and then after that, I'll be in Atlanta May 16th and 17th at the Total Entrepreneurs Workshop. Have Les Brown, Ona Brown, Dr. Clarence Granis, Alan McDougall, Alan Seeley, and that you can find, buy tickets for that at dreamspeaker.org. That's dreamspeaker.org, and for those 2 days, it's just $49. Wow, it's amazing.
Wow.
And also, save the date, Soul Retreat, September 12th and 13th, and it's going to be at the Renaissance, 17th Street and Causeway. That's September 12th and 13th. I can't wait to see all of you there. And once again, we're going to have Sandrina close out with one of her songs. And if you need further information regarding Sandrina where you didn't get that information, you may email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to connect you to this powerful, awesome queen. And Shirley, you have any closing comments before she cues up?
I am waiting to hear this song. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing that very, very intimate and personal part of your life. your relationship with your children, and your relationship with Christ. I thank you for myself and for our audience. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that, and it's always been a pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Val, of course, for having me on the show. Thank you, Ms. Shirley, for speaking to me once again. I'm so glad. I'm so happy. So the song that I was going to play another song, which the one I'm about to release, which is titled "He Is," but since we've been talking about the book and the "No More Chains" and domestic violence, I think that probably I should go ahead and play "No More Chains."
Okay, well we will hear that in just 1 second. I'll take one more caller, and then we will play that. Caller 2230, you're live.
For Shirley and Dr. Val, I'm telling you, what a great show this evening. This is Captain Mark here. And I heard your story when you started talking about how your ex-husband tied you up and put tape all around you and all. And it just brought something to mind, especially when you hit a nerve when you said there had been no history of violence before. You know, you had loud words before, but no history of action like that. And it reminded me of the fact that I went and bought my wife was acting up a bit, so I bought a roll of duct tape, and I put her name on it in a magic marker, in black magic marker, and I sat it on top of the refrigerator, and I told her, you take a look at that roll of duct tape. You keep bothering me. You keep bugging me. You're going to find yourself tied up. Well, the next day, she had a roll of duct tape on top of mine with red magic marker with my name on it. And she said, sooner or later, you might have to go to sleep. And you find yourself tied up. Needless to say, I removed both rolls of duct tape. But, you know, you never know that moment mm-hmm. when a person can snap. And there is some truth in every joke. I want to make sure that I've taken everything that I've learned this evening and incorporated in my marriage, because I'm more scared of my wife than anything. I know that if I act a fool, I better go all the way and do myself after. So we might as well find a way to work this thing out. And I appreciate you sharing such intimate information about your marriage. And thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so
God
much
bless
for joining
God
us. And we will conclude, and I present you to you, ladies and gentlemen, Sandrina Taylor.
Thank you. No More Chains.
Whatever is going on in your life, know that you don't know. Against all odds, persevere. When family and friends walk away, stand strong. Even when you fall down, don't stay there. Get back up. Know that God is always near. He's steady enough for me. I know. Let me tell you a story about what changed my life. It was August 13th, a Friday night. As I closed my eyes and began to fall asleep, little did I know the enemy had a trap set for me. Taken captive of the world's in total despair, I felt like Paul and Silas in a Roman jail. A still small voice said on me, you can cast all you care. I lose the shackle before you pray, because I was already there. No more chains are holding me. I'm moving forward.
No more.